podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today, I am very excited to talk to the lead singer of a new favorite band. I'm talking with Sean Schroka of the Toronto-based band 10 Kills the Pack. He wrote a song called Theo, which is about Van Gogh's letters to his brother and art dealer Theo. They're pretty heavy. Sean is really able to tap into the insecurity and anxiety that Vincent felt, but really, that we all feel. I was so intrigued by this, I wanted to know how he found out about the letters, what inspired him to read them, his connection to them, and of course, how to write the song about it. This is such an inspiring conversation. I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How about you? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can. Absolutely.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Awesome. So I am loving your song.
Thank you so much.
I am loving it. It's called Theo, right?
Yes, that's it.
It is fantastic.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm glad we get to do this and chat. It's really cool. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for reaching out. Oh, this is fantastic.
Totally.
So you are in Canada and Toronto. And so what sparked this song? I mean, like, are you an artist? Are you, do you like art history? People are aware of, I guess, his letters, but I think the average person on the street might not have read them.
Yes, totally. It is a lot. And it does, after, you know, maybe even the first 50 letters, you're kind of like, oh, I get the gist. But it was definitely, I perceived it more as like a challenge to, you know, overcome and take in. And I kind of became a bit obsessive about it too. So, I do some graphic design on the side. Like, I do posters. I do all my own album artwork and things, and have done it for some other artists and things as well. But, and I really like, you know, visuals. I love directing, you know, music videos and things like that too. But first and foremost, yeah, like, I'm a writer, songwriter, and poetry focused as well. And yeah, those definitely intertwine, but I do think that, you know, I also like writing those things as separate pieces as well. But for anyone listening, I'm sure you're aware, but maybe if you're not, the Van Gogh letters are, there's about almost 200 letters translated, and they're just all his letters about from his early artist's life that he wrote to, most of the majority of them are to his brother Theo, who was an art dealer in Paris. And then it kind of tells you the whole story of his life through his own words, which is really awesome. And it's filled with, you know, these beautiful, you know, significant paintings, and the ones that are not as well, the ones that like brought him to that extra level. And so it kind of really shows you the true history about this artist and what was going on in his head, which I think is so important, because, you know, everyone just hears the regular average story, you know, artist cuts his ear off or whatever, you know, like the most infamous moments. But I really wanted to kind of focus on the most intimate moments, I guess.
Right. Kind of what was behind that, maybe.
Yes, totally. It is a lot. And it does, after, you know, maybe even the first 50 letters, you're kind of like, oh, I get the gist. But it was definitely, I perceived it more as like a challenge to, you know, overcome and take in. And I kind of became a bit obsessive about it too. So, I do some graphic design on the side. Like, I do posters. I do all my own album artwork and things, and have done it for some other artists and things as well. But, and I really like, you know, visuals. I love directing, you know, music videos and things like that too. But first and foremost, yeah, like, I'm a writer, songwriter, and poetry focused as well. And yeah, those definitely intertwine, but I do think that, you know, I also like writing those things as separate pieces as well. But, you know, for anyone listening, I'm sure you're aware, but maybe if you're not, the Van Gogh letters are, there's about almost 200 letters translated, and they're just all his letters about from basically from his early artist life that he wrote to, most of the majority of them are to his brother Theo, who was an art dealer in Paris. And then it kind of tells you the whole story of his life through his own words, which is really awesome. And it's filled with, you know, these beautiful, you know, significant paintings, and the ones that are not as well, the ones that like brought him to that extra level. And so it kind of, really shows you the true history about this artist and what was going on in his head, which I think is so important because, you know, everyone just hears the regular average story, you know, artist cuts his ear off or whatever, you know, like the most infamous moments. But I really wanted to kind of focus on the most intimate moments, I guess, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want you to kind of talk about, because I've had a similar experience, but with not with Van Gogh, but like just like reading someone else's narrative, like their life story and their experiences, and just being like, yeah, this is him, but this is totally me too. I can get this. Talk, yes. Like, what was that like? Just kind of.
Oh man. I'm glad you bring that up. Cause I, you know, at a certain point, the closest thing I could say it felt like, and this is going to sound so crazy, but it reminded me, have you ever seen the movie Julie and Julia?
No, but I want to.
It's Meryl Streep acting as Julia. Yep. And is it Amy Adams, I think, as or someone in that era of acting in that kind of rom-com era a little bit, as this cook who's like reading her book. And they basically, their storylines, like, you know, and it was a book first, I guess, but yeah, the storylines of like Julia Child's like life and her life, even though they're vastly different in two different time periods, just kind of like intertwine and kind of mirror each other with like the certain types of, you know, emotional states and relationships and, you know, doubts and things they were having. It felt like that.
Cool. Yeah, it was really weird. But
yeah, it was really weird. But I know what you mean. Like, you're like, that feels like me. And I guess in a way, like, you know, I've had people write really nice things about songs and music. And I guess I do understand where they're coming from in that way, because I'm able to, like, as I was reading all these things, it was just so odd. I was going through a lot of different moments. It took me a lot of years to finish this song, but as I was reading and rereading, you know, I was just, the moments that, you know, where I happened to be in the book was really aligning with like the types of doubts I was having as an artist and the types of motivation I was having and the types of like stripping everything back. Like I, you know, he wanted to strip everything back and not paint for a while again, and just like really focus on shading and charcoal and making, you know, really utilizing that and, you know, darkness and light. And I kind of happened to be doing the same thing with writing. I stopped writing music for like a year and was just writing poetry and was just, doing that, you know, and just stripping it back and then working my way back into everything again. And yeah, it was really cool. And you know, it was also really sad. But yeah, fantastic. I definitely recommend the letters to everybody, really. It might take a bit of time, but yeah.
I have some of the books. I've not read a whole lot of them. I've read some of them, but and yeah, they're pretty haunting.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a light read.
No, it's not a light read, but that's what's also so beautiful. And it really, you've spoken to so many artists with your podcasts, and I'm sure, you know, you could find so many certain threads and parallels through so many people, what they do creatively and how that mindset works. And I was finding that even reading this, just how you know, we have all this technology and all these, it's just such a vastly different world, obviously, but it is insane how the same thoughts and the same processes and the same doubts and the same struggle and the same like outreach and cry for helps and like all of that is exactly the same to so many people I've spoken to myself. Like, it is just wild how that hasn't really changed. And like, you know, the diminishment of and value of art and creativity and things like that, that hasn't changed. When you go through this, it feels like you're reading it in an era that's happening currently. You know, it's pretty weird.
Right. Pretty weird. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a singer. I don't know if you know who Vigilantes of Love is or are. They're, it's Bill Maloney is their lead singer. They're no longer a band, but he wrote a song called Skin, and it's about Van Gogh, about how he cut his ear off, and that's a really great song too. He's very good too, and I thought that was interesting that he did a historical thing as well, and that was like the first thing I thought of when I heard about yours.
That's great. Yeah. It's funny how we're, you know, many people are obviously attracted to this particular artist. And yeah, just, I think it's, you know, he is a very famous, famous influence on so many things, but it is kind of cool to see it cross into the different mediums. Absolutely. As well, you know, which is why I'm so happy to be on this show, because it's fun just to talk about art and creativity as a whole. So that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, thank you so much for reaching out. So tell me about your creative process. Like, how does it relate to Van Gogh, or how do you ward off doubts and things like that?
The doubts stay, you just write them out.
Yeah.
But the process, the process is, it's, you know, it is kind of ever changing. I think I used to be really interested in the fact of, I think the most common question maybe for songwriters is like, you know, did the lyrics come first or does the music, you know, that's a common question, as I'm sure there's so many other common questions for visual artists and people as well. But over time, like, just, it's, you know, similar to with Van Gogh, like you're starting with charcoal and you're working your way through, and then eventually you come across this other idea. So your whole process does just over time, as you change, your process changes. Right now it's I think this whole album and that song I won't speak to because it doesn't count because it was so crazy, but for most songs, you know, it's, I feel like, a healthy balance of, you know, you come across a beautiful melody or chord thing and you're just like, oh, that just rings so differently today. And something about, you know, something about this color just feels so good today. It's kind of that, you know, it's this instinct about the feeling of creativity, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can see that beautiful painting behind you, you know, and it's just like, you're just like, wow, this shade of red just feels like this whole thing, you know? And I feel like you follow that down the road for a second. And sometimes it's with words too, right? You just like have this phrase, or you're writing this poem and you're like, oh, this is destined to be something. And maybe that thing, you know, you follow it and it happens all before you have dinner, and that's great. And sometimes, you know, you chase it and then you, like, a lot of my process does rely on voice memos. I don't know where I'd be without, I gotta say. I know for a lot of visual artists listening, you know, I guess notepads for you if you're, you know, that's kind and visions and just like holding on to that. But I do, you know, I sing a lot of things and I'll hum things and then I'll go back to those ideas because sometimes I just can't get to things right away. I think with the music industry, the way it is, there's so much go, go, go and content to be creating that I'm like, I can't really give my full self to this song right now, but I know that it's going to be great. And And it's exciting to me because then I kind of think, oh, what else am I going to learn or listen to or read or see by the time I come back to the song in 6 months from now?
Yeah.
So I do find that that's kind of inspirational. If I start to feel like, oh, I haven't written anything, I'm like, oh, well, it's okay. Because, you know, some songs I've written, you know, if I stuck with the version that it was, it wouldn't be what it is now, you know?
Right.
So, I find that's that really inspiring. And with Theo, the process, which is why I'm here for that song, I read that those letters and I guess I'll just explain the little process about
yeah,
it.
Tell me.
Yeah, so like, yeah, so being a fan of Van Gogh, was reading those letters and I kind of was thinking, oh, man, like I do want to make something for this person, for this art, for this legacy, for myself. You know, like you said, when you feel that connection and it's, that's you, but that's also me, you know, like that's such a very strong pull. And so by the time I got halfway through the book, I was like, oh my God, I got to have like a million songs. It's so hard to decide.
I got to do something with this.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh. And there's so many inspirational moments and words and just, you know, just the first quarter about that could be its own song. Of course, anything, like, I mean, you could make a song about one day or 1 hour, but there was a lot, but I just kind of was like, you know, I'm going to keep that same mentality of like, what am I going to read in like 3 months from now or whatever that might pull me. So I had a version of the song and then I would restructure it and I was felt like I was close to complete, but I hadn't read the rest of the letters yet. And I was like, I gotta, but at some point, you know, things were so busy. I was on tour. I was doing these other things. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to like commit this to the song yet. I'm going to keep going and eventually tackle these letters. I finished them and was like, okay, glad I did that. And I would write out like a mini biography. I wrote out a whole biography of my own version of events and like, you know, in a jot note form. And then I would redo that and condense it even more, keep doing it. And then, you know, that basically took place over a couple of years because sometimes I just wasn't satisfied.
Yeah.
About what things to keep, you know, like how can you put a whole life in 3 minutes and 30 seconds?
Right, right.
Whatever. But I think the other thing that helped is, like I said, about the inspiration that happens later is just I would eventually come up with a line because part of that was like, okay, yeah, this has to be factual and structural. But my personal challenge is making this something that's poetically a mirror of the paintings I'm thinking of, you know, yeah. Like of the drawings that I'm seeing, of the words I'm reading from these letters. So like, what is something, you know, because I could just biographically say what happened, but how right. can I say it in like every metaphorical and
right,
type
right.
of way? And that's actually poetic that to me justifies those paintings and respects those just as well. So that was the other challenge. Once I had the time structure, it was kind of looking at, okay, well, this is great, but like, is that beautiful enough, you know? And then eventually a phrase came in, I would replace that other phrase that was
yeah,
there
yeah.
and just kept chipping away. And that's why it took so long. Like, you know, it's probably the longest process I've had for a song.
Right.
And it's just because yeah. I want it to, it's factual. Someone's yeah. life, you know? So you don't really have too much room for your own. I mean, you do as much as you want creatively, but you know, to me, that's my first biographical song, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. And yeah, I love how you were talking about poetry because I think that, that like I've taken a poetry class and when one poet calls it, called her business a condensery because she was condensing stories into, you know, like structures. And that's exactly what you're doing. And that's, And I was thinking as you were saying that, like, how do you have like pages and pages of notes on Theo and like, you're trying to condense it down into like, what, like 10, 10 phrases.
Yeah, it's so scary. It was the worst.
The end product, you did a fabulous job.
Thank you.
And your voice is amazing.
Thank you.
And you did a knockout job. But talk about that, I guess, chipping away process. Like, how did you know what to keep and what to...
That's where the tandems and parallels kind of align with, you know, visual artists and creatives and filmmakers. Like, I think people don't talk about this as much, but, you know, because creatives are so aligned with, you know, a very like-minded, liberal, creative, free-thinking spirit, and although I would like to believe most of them are that, there's also this other thing that is like, I think we all have like a competitive nature in us to like, you're not necessarily with others, I hope not, because that's just the wrong thing to do, but usually with yourself, of like trying to outdo yourself, like trying to really outdo your next film and outdo your next thing and push. And then that's where all those doubts, you know, can it be better than the thing I did before? How could it be? You know, even the thought of like, I have nothing in my head right now, but I just did this whole album. Is it possible to make a whole new album again? Like all those thoughts. So even when you have that whole layer of words on a page, you know, I don't know. I mean, that is the most trickiest question in the world. How do you know when to stop? Of course, that's the hardest part, but it also comes down, that's why we do what we do, is we have this instinct, this creative pull that's able to kind of guide us a little bit if you can kind of let go. And yeah, I think choosing what to toss was just a matter of like, okay, well, this is something for me in this song particularly was like, this is so... a factual thing that I think is so important to talk about. This is about the person's mental health and being alone and not making it, you know? And yeah, I was going to talk about this other thing, which is similar, but you know, what is like, you know, when you're having like, you know, this artist, they're having suicidal thoughts. They're crying out. They have, some undiagnosed mental problem. They feel very alone. They want to do something like the Skin song and cut off their ear. You know, there's these things, right. But like, what is the best way to talk about that? So yeah, I think it's just like, you get to these versions and you get to these pieces of poetry, and then that's when it's not about this song or whatever. I think you have to like make it about you and like dig deep of what's the thing that I relate to and feel connected with. And that's every artist, right? And that's the competitive thing. So you're trying to outdo, and then you reach the point you're like, yeah, what? And then what on top of that, what's the thing that is like my lane here? What speaks to me? Yeah. What feels good about this phrase that is also the thing that I've been working on for the past while.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that came out in some great lyrics over time.
for sure. Yeah. It's you are quite a poet.
Thanks.
It is really, really cool. And I've not listened to the whole album yet, but it looks, but if it's anything like this, I will.
Yeah, totally. Everyone, you're welcome. 10 Kills the Pack on Spotify or Apple, wherever you feel like listening to music, it's there.
Absolutely. And we'll have a link on our post.
Awesome.
But yeah, so this is amazing. So, I mean, so you do graphic design
a little bit. Yeah. Like, I mean, it kind of came out of necessity, because as a musician, it's expensive to kind of keep up things that you want to keep up. And I remember you know, I took a few classes and I learned some things through some other people, and I just kind of like kept at it. And you know, I wouldn't call myself a graphic designer. I'm definitely like a creative producer and float between those realms,
Well, that's because, what's cooler.
Yeah, it's a cool term. I'll see you on LinkedIn later. It's a good title in a sense, because I do have limits and boundaries. That's why I'm not a graphic designer. Like, I don't think I could say that, because I don't have the extension of knowledge that I think, you know, a lot of people in that space do. Like, you're a graphic designer, right?
I am what you described it very well. I took graphic design classes, but I stopped immediately after I graduated, and I've not been doing it since.
Right. Okay. Yeah. There you go. But yeah, so it's a whole thing. And I think that's the same with songwriting as well. You know, I think this is the best way to put it. What's the latest Wes Anderson movie that came out? It had like Timothy Chalamet. Someone who's listening, shout it out to me. Thank you via interweb. It was about this like guy who's in prison and he's an artist. Anyways, there's a scene that really spoke to me where he makes all this abstract art, and there's no spoilers here for anyone listening. this is just part of the storyline. It could be in the trailer, but like this painter makes all this abstract art, and there's someone that's really gravitated towards this artist who happens to also be a prisoner, and it's, you know, it's super abstract, but it's very beautiful, and they're kind of captivated. But what he does is he goes, okay. Like, he sits him down and then he goes, draw me a bird. And he draws like a perfect bird.
Oh, wow.
Right. And then he goes back to his friend. He's like, this is the future of this abstract artist. He's amazing. He goes, why is he amazing? He goes, because he dreamed of this bird. And he goes, what does that have to do anything? He's like, well, you know, he can draw a bird perfectly, but he chooses to paint that, you know, something else.
Oh, wow. Out of that,
because he has, you know, meaning he has all the knowledge and capabilities to do the regular thing, right, the straight lane thing, but he does that instead.
And, oh, I love that.
I feel that way about, you know, all artists. I don't want to call myself a graphic designer because they have all the capabilities to do it. I have, you know, I do have some boundaries, I feel that way with writing. I feel like lots of people need to be able to draw that bird when it comes to writing before you're even songwriting.
Yeah.
Things like that too.
That's an amazing parallel. I got to see that movie. That's awesome.
That's a good scene. I mean, I didn't write the movie. Oh, it's a good scene. I mean, I didn't write the movie. It's just, I was just like, that's exactly it. You know, I think with so many different creative realms and spaces, you know, you have to be able to draw that bird. And but you know, that being said, on the flip side of that, I kind of like really having confines, like, and you know, a border to work in. Like, sure, I don't know absolutely everything, but because I'm so constricted with the amount of knowledge I have,
Right.
It makes my creativity thrive really well, of like how I can utilize certain tools. And I don't even mean that just in the art world for making show posters and things like that. But even, yeah, for, I guess just for like anything you're kind of doing, it's just like, I think that really makes me thrive. I think an example I'm thinking of is when I was recording, you know, before this album, two albums ago, I was recording trumpet players and violinists in the kitchen. And those are the best songs that have happened. You know, my best recordings on Spotify are people that I recorded in like a living room. And I had just that amount of money and just that amount of people. And you're able to like make those things happen and arrangements work out. So yeah, restrictions are good.
You know, totally.
Not having every color in the palette is a really good thing, which boom, swings back to the circle.
awesome I love it. That's awesome. I found that like too much, I need constraints, because too much freedom, I will just you know, fumble around like forever.
When everything's possible, that's no fun. I mean, that's for every genre of music, you know, just punk music, that's, you know, some of my favorite stuff to listen to. But there's everything, I think, comes out of necessity and restraint and constriction in that way. I think for artists, visually, And then that spawns the new creative thing that spawns impressionism, you know, mm-hmm. and that spawns all these other great artists out there. But yeah, so that's cool that you feel the same way. It's an interesting, I think it helps, right?
Like, for sure. Definitely. Cause I think that, like, I don't know. I've been thinking about this, like, too much freedom is just, of course you want the freedom to, you know, do what you want, but I will spend like hours, like just doing nothing, just trying to like, and think I'm busy, but just, you know, just kind of just puttering around, just kind of trying to find my thing. And mm-hmm. if I have constraints that I can't do that. I mean, then I could, it'd be much easier. I don't know. It's, I say I don't like rules, but I think I need them.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's okay. We're artists. It's such a fluctuation. You know, I'm saying this now and a week from now, I'll be like, who's that guy talking?
What's he talking about?
I'm going to just go record and do it. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's nice. This podcast has been going on for quite some time. I listened to the one that I really liked was Nikita.
Buziak.
Yes. Wow. Amazing. And those, wow. The story, but also, yeah, the drawings were like so captivating.
With aren't the glowing they? Aren't they fantastic? And,
yeah. I was actually trying to find that video of how he does that glowing effect. Did he share that with you at all?
He did. And I don't know if I think I posted it, but I might not have.
Okay. Yeah. I think if I didn't post it, I will find it for you and I will, I'll send it to you.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he was fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a story I can think of as well with constraints and finding direction and things like that within that. And then that is such a success, you know?
Yeah.
So that's really great.
He was fabulous. And that's, yeah, I found him on Saatchi, and that was, yeah, he's fabulous.
That's excellent. Very cool.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you chatting with me, reaching out to me and sharing your songs with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And I just thought, a friend turned me to your podcast a while ago, and I remembered, I was like, yeah, this would be kind of cool. It's a song about Van Gogh. How
appropriate
is that? You know, we can talk about art without talking about art, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's awesome. And I didn't even know anyone listened to me in Canada. So.
Well, you'll find there. Yeah, there's someone definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Thank you very much. And yeah, the song, I'll keep you posted with other songs for sure.
Yeah,
they won't be
sure.
In this realm exactly, but I want to thank you for having me on, and to everyone listening, feel free to check it out, and hopefully you can paint or draw or drive to it or have a walk to it.
Yeah. And if your tour brings you down to North Carolina, let me know.
That's great. I actually have family in North Carolina. So
cool.
That's awesome.
Where?
Now it's on the tip of my tongue, but it's one of the main cities that, Asheville.
Asheville. Okay.
That's North Carolina, right?
No, that's North Carolina. It's that's a few hours away. I'm in Charlotte. So in Charlotte.
Okay. Yeah. They're in Asheville. And, I've only been there once when I was younger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a nice area. It's a lot warmer than Canada, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely. But the mountains, I was so surprised how beautiful it is. It's stunning. And there's two stations in North Carolina that play my music. So that's kind of cool.
Really?
So hopefully I get to go there. Yeah. Some university in North Carolina. I can't remember which one. Okay. And then there's another station as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're listening in North Carolina, hopefully I see you soon.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Cool. You too.
And I will end this one right now. Nice. And thank you so much. And I will definitely let you know when this posts. And
please.
And if you could share it with your people, that would be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll put it on. It'll be all over my socials and stuff like that for sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to Sean Schroka of 10 Kills the Pack. If you want to hear more of 10 Kills of the Pack's music, it's on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, pretty much anywhere you can get music. But it'll also be linked on the page. Thanks for listening. This is a Hotspur Media production. Music by Corey Knoxville.